Welcome to the Double Deuce Podcast, an amazing show that lasts only 22 minutes and is for you, the listener, so soak it up. So here are your two big beer hosts, Will Averill and Nelson. Hey, Will, hit the timer.
And we're in.
Double Deuce.
Episode somewhere in the 430s.
Yeah, 435, right in the middle. The ides of the 430s.
It's not too high. It's not too low. It's 435. Wow. I'm trying to think of something that happened 435 years ago, but A, my math is bad, and B, my history is bad.
It'd be what, the late 1600s?
Yeah. So there was probably some cool Renaissance shit going down. Some bad colonialism going down. Dodgy East India Trading Company stuff going down.
America been kicking it for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, not as America yet, but still colonies, but still we'd been holding it down for a while at that point.
We got motherfucking Puritans all up in this bitch, burning witches, tripping on bread that's gone bad.
Although, they were burning witches in the 1600s there. I'm trying to think, remember when Salem happened. Salem may have already happened.
There's never a bad time to burn witches, my friend. We need to be burning more of them today, I believe. I think that's the problem with our society, is we aren't burning nearly enough witches. Before you start sending me hate mail, Wiccans, saying you don't understand witchcraft and it's a nature thing, I just want to say, you know, go back to the Renfest. I ain't having it. I know about some solstice. Mm-hmm. I know about some love potions. I know what you do. Seen the movies.
There was also, by that point, there was plenty of just like British people hanging out as opposed to all Puritans too.
Also witches.
Yeah. Well, not less witches, I guess, because they'd been burning a lot of people by that point. And they might have got a couple in there of actual witches, just
by the
scale of burning people. You probably caught a couple witches by accident, honestly.
You know, I would ask British people if they were witches and they'd get real cagey, so I think they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stefan, are British people witches?
Let us know. Hashtag Double Deuce, I'm Stefan, and we're all witches here, motherfuckers.
That's a very long hashtag.
Yeah, it's my best one so far. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm concentrated and I'm focused and I'm an animal ready to pounce at the sign of the slightest thing. I'm alert and awake and I'm functioning with the intelligence, sentience, and reflexes of a god.
Because you're on that magic mind?
Because I'm on the magic mind. I did the little, they said, they gave us enough, dear listeners, to have a one apiece, and then for somebody to have a couple extras, and they said take it day after day because there's a cumulative effect. Yes. And so I took it day after day, and I will say it did seem like it lasted longer in duration. It didn't necessarily become sort of more potent, and that I wasn't like three times as energetic, but it sure lasted all day and it sure felt real good. And you know, if they send some more, I will keep drinking it because it is good stuff.
Honestly, I even feel like just the one that I had, like I could swear I was still feeling like a little more sharp and alert for honestly like a day. I feel like it was the next evening where it had been like a full ass day since I'd had it is when I finally started to like lose that edge.
Yeah,
probably even more effective than like your energy drink that like amps you for a few hours and then wears back off again.
I did one at work before I had to do some really boring grant writing, and man, it helped me kind of get in there and write that grant. And you know what? I felt like it was a good grant.
Honestly, I got some stuff done that night when I went home after we recorded. I was just like, I'm gonna get a little work done. I'm gonna do a couple things that I haven't gotten around to because I've been feeling like you're not doing it. But I was like, I feel like being productive, quite frankly.
You know what that is? That's the ceremonial matcha. Like, I want to tell you, this isn't just regular matcha. Mm. This is ceremonial matcha. That matcha has been like to bat mitzvahs. Mm. It's been to a bris or two. It's been to a quinceañera. That matcha's been to ceremonies, my friend. Maybe a funeral or a eulogy. And then when it's at the height of its sort of affected by all of this ceremony, they put it in the drink.
Right on.
Yeah, yeah. That's right next to the cordyceps mushrooms. Not the same ones from The Last of Us, mind you.
No, we weren't sure about that the first time. We were a little worried about potential zombieism, but we saw no effects, and then we got more information. Ramps up stuff in your mitochondria, which, as we all know, is the powerhouse of the cell. It's also the powerhouse of you.
My mitochondria don't want none unless you've got magic mind, son. You can do side bends and sit-ups, but please don't lose that mushroom.
Yes. You need that also mushroom.
Rhodiola, rosea, and B2, B3, and B12 vitamins, which are, you know, three of my favorite B vitamins.
Yeah. I feel like the B's, it's a strong, you know, a lot of people are like A, because A comes first, B comes second, but those B's, that's where their good vitamins are. Give you that good deep vitamin.
You think that it all like amp you up and you'd be like, oh God, but then there's the turmeric and the ashwagandha and the L-theanine that gets the stress out of there. That's like a back rub for your brain, soul.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there wasn't a lot to make me anxious in that day where I had it, but maybe part of that was just me being naturally chilled out by the magic mind. Maybe I would have got all up in my anxiousness if I hadn't been on it about something or another, but I didn't. And I can only, you know, maybe it's a whole correlation causation thing, but maybe it's just that magic mind doing what it's supposed to do.
Hey, I bet we've sold them on this by now because it's so amazing. Should we tell them how they can get it?
100%. Honestly, too, I'm just gonna say, I'm gonna sell one more thing. I feel like that was the most good awake and alert I've been in weeks before and since. I feel like I haven't had that clarity since it wore off on me. So we may have to get some more.
Oh yeah. Oh, we're gonna get some more. Don't worry.
If we're gonna get some more, the way to get some more for us or just to get some at all for you guys is going to www.magicmind.com/doubledeuce.
Yeah, here's the thing. You get like 20% off just for doing that and going to that link, which is amazing. Yeah,
go there and then you got to use our code, which is doubledeuce20. All together, doubledeuce20.
And that'll get you the 20% off. But wait,
the 20 is numbers, I should say. The double deuce is letters. The 20 is numbers. Just in case you're wondering, doubledeuce20, that's 20% off. Anything you're getting, if you're getting just a few bottles, if you're getting a subscription, that's that good 20% off.
But see, within the subscription, it can get even better, because with a subscription, if you do this within the next sort of like 10 days.
Yeah. Which I think we're good. I think because we keep giving the one thing I never asked them was, I'm guessing this next 10 days is for each of these episodes where we give you this code. So that's what I think is happening.
So you might get up to 56% off. That's like if you get a subscription.
Yes.
It
has to be a certain length subscription, I know. But at the same time, for 56% off, you might as well, you know, get yourself stock up, is what I'm saying. Stock up for 56% off. I don't know how they can afford to give it to you at 56% off, but probably just because they're like, oh, it works. They're going to want this good stuff.
Yeah. No, I think right now they're like, hey, we got to get this into people's minds. This is magic mind.
Let them get their magic in your mind, for the love of God.
The magic is the deal you're getting on putting it in your mind.
And once again, you get it in your mind at www.magicmind.com/doubledeuce.
That's Magic Mind, the world's first productivity shot. We're not supposed to use like fancy voices when we advertise it, and I almost went there, but I didn't.
That's true. Well, we kind of use fancy voices just normally on the podcast, but I can understand what they're saying. They want us to be natural about it, but for us, sometimes natural is unnatural, and unnatural is natural.
Yeah, that's what we
but
put
there's
on
nothing
the letter.
Unnatural about using code DoubleDeuce20 for 20% off or even more on bigger subscription packs.
Well, now that we've covered our sponsor, hey, speaking of things, we've got that live show is coming up, and we've actually got some exciting news.
Yes.
We have two potential venues. We haven't decided on which one, so I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to confuse anybody by telling you a venue that we're not being at. But
no, but for a while there, we were having trouble finding a home. We have people wanting to let us do it at their place, even though it might close them down.
I didn't necessarily understand
the risks, and they are voting yes.
I didn't necessarily tell them that part, but I'm glad
you said
that's
probably for the best. Let them figure that out on their own.
I guess they're probably not listening to this podcast.
Probably. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes there are more people who listen than I think, because every once in a while somebody random will be like, I've been keeping up with you on your podcast. Like my mom.
Yeah.
Like she'll randomly say things like, I've been keeping up with you on your podcast, which is really embarrassing since I talk a lot of shit on in the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think we got a good listenership, and I think they're astute, and they're highfalutin. They're able to handle complex themes, because let's be honest, we don't follow a traditional structure of podcasting.
No, it's pretty joicy in the way that it flows freely.
Yeah. Like, we could do a murder podcast, but if we did a murder podcast the way that we run a podcast, we would probably stop about two-thirds of the way through the murder podcast and tell a whole different story and forget to tell about the murder. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last 2 minutes, we'd be like, oh, fuck, we forgot to talk about the murder, and then we cover it really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's not how – we're not built for that kind of work.
Yeah, no, we got brains that go places. We might have a lot of undiagnosed ADHD around here, which is why that drink was so good for us.
Could be, yeah. Maybe that's our brains were yearning for focus, and we gave them a taste.
Yeah. Oh, hey, speaking of no focus, it's time for Dune 2 Corner.
Oh, yeah, you saw Dune 2.
I saw Dune 2, and I got to tell you, I'm going to try to make this no spoilers because it's still relatively fresh.
That's so fair. It is an old book that has been given two movies. Didn't they do a sci-fi channel Dune 2 at some point?
There's a sci-fi channel Dune, and they did Children of Dune, I think, on the sci-fi miniseries. Yeah. And then there was
it's
the,
out there is what I'm
David
saying.
David Lynch,
but
1984 version. All right, so ask
I guess
me
not
questions.
Not giving too much away, but I feel like
ask me questions and I'll tell you answers, but I won't give spoilers.
Does more happen in this one than in the first half?
I would say yes and no.
Because it feels like they're trying to focus a lot on the action and the fighting and the sandworms and all the ads, as if maybe it's an answer to the concerns about the first one just kind of lazily. The first one's a bit of a lazy river at times, is what I'm saying. So is the river, are we getting into more rapids, or at least a little bit more?
Especially the second half, we're chonging down some more rapids. It does. I will tell you, because you were very much in my mind, because your analysis of the first Dune was not glowing. You said you fell asleep.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, will Nelson fall asleep during this one? And my answer is you will probably still fall asleep, but
okay,
it'll be much prettier as you fall asleep. Because I do think this one's more beautiful. I think in the way that it's filmed, it's stunningly beautiful. So, and for that reason, I would say, like, go check it out in the theater. Don't wait till it's on the small screen. I would like to actually go back and watch the first Dune on the big screen, because I saw it for the first time because it was during COVID on the small screen. And then just like, why would you go back and see it in the theater after that? Who would do that? Unless you're going to Liberty Hall to ironically watch Three Amigos again or something. So, yeah, I would say for that reason, you should probably go see it. But I think that you will find that it's still slow. I did think to myself, man, I can see why somebody watched something like this and thought, you know, we could put together all of this 30-minute segment in about one song's worth of time and then put a song there. And then it would be, I don't know, what will we call it? A decoupage? No, but a montage. And that's how montages were born, because although it was majestic in its scope, majestic is not always far from boring.
That was really the first one was just I was pretty bored for most of it. And so I was hoping just with all the ads that I'd be less bored at this one, but it sounds like maybe don't count on it.
I think that I don't want to lie to you and tell you it's super exciting. I think I may be more, I don't know. I may be a little more patient with it.
I'm famously not a big Dune head. So I cared more about, I think I would be more invested in it and be more forgiving of the pacing just by seeing like a good treatment of the work and all and like bringing the world to life and such. But for me, I don't have that. I'm not forgiving in that way. I'll forgive like a Marvel movie's rougher edges at times for like some of the lesser regarded Marvel movies, just because that's my thing. So I'm able to come to it from that point. But with the Dune, like I read the first one at one point a long time ago. I watched the old 80s movie a handful of times, but not in quite some time, to be honest.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my Dune experience. And so
the one thing that
I should probably ask some more questions. Does the Austin Butler guy still do his Elvis voice in it?
No, and I'm really tempted to spoil this one just because it's hilarious, but I will say there were choices made in this movie that a lot of them were wonderful. There were some I didn't agree with, and his voice is not one that
Cockney, Cajun? Where's he going with
it? I mean, again, I don't really want to spoil it for you, but I just want you to know
that's fair. Like, let it come completely at us out of left field.
Yeah, yeah.
Did anybody laugh out loud when he first started talking in the theater you were in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that did happen. Yeah, yeah. I feel like they sort of went with things looking beautiful over a lot of character developments. I don't really go to it for the character developments, so I didn't mind it too much, but it's like is a little cloying when a major plot point about a character is revealed literally minutes before he kills the character who did him wrong, but you don't find out about it until like 10 minutes before he kills him or 5 minutes before he kills him. And it's like, you could have maybe built that up a little bit more.
As opposed to just making it a travel log.
Here's my big hot take. And I'm sure that all the Dune heads who listen to this are going to tear me a new asshole, but from a scriptwriter's perspective, there's Duncan Idaho, right, who's like his training master, and there's Gurney Halleck, who's like a general who plays music and is kind of the soulful dude.
Duncan Idaho's his like robot friend from Earth or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want to know my thing as a scriptwriter, if you were writing it just as a screenplay, I would have totally combined those characters because they're totally kind of duplicated characters in the purpose they serve in the story. And since we're not getting into real depth here with these mm-hmm. characters. Like, just make those dudes one guy. Like you know, like in the Tudors when they combined a bunch of noble house folks because they all did the same things generally. That's mm-hmm. my hot take.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes some sense. I can see that also, making some sense.
No pugs in the updated Dunes. Like, I don't know if you remember, but in the 84 David Lynch,
Patrick Stewart's
Dune,
pugs.
Patrick Stewart has a pug. He's mm-hmm. all pugged up. And I miss those pugs, damn it. They were a symbol of loyalty and fertility, just like in medieval paintings.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were a symbol of fertility.
Yeah, they're a symbol of loyalty and fertility.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that... I've never had a pug or spent a lot of time with them. Are they known for fucking?
Well, I mean, if you're going to fuck, you want a little bug-eyed dog looking at you, right?
Okay. I mean,
maybe that's just me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why... I don't know, man. I think all dogs, not just pugs. I think it was sort of all dogs, but...
All dogs go to heaven short and dogs. Walk to have sex.
They were a lot shorter, so they probably didn't want, like, big dogs. Because they would have been a lot bigger on them.
Sorry, I was writing notes.
You're not going to name this episode Little Dogs Fucking, are you?
No.
Good. Because we need some composure here. Is there anything else you want to ask me about Dune, too?
You know, I feel like I should. Does Zendaya get to do more in this one, aside from, like, showing up in the last 15 minutes?
Yeah, no, she does. She plays a pretty big
hyped her up in all the ads, and then she, is wandering the desert in his dreams a couple times, and then she shows up at the very end, and it's like, all right, if I were a huge Zendaya fan, I would probably be mad about this. A fan of Zendaya's, but I didn't watch the first Dune just for her.
Right.
Thankfully.
Yeah, you definitely get a lot more of her. You know, one thing that's interesting is they really lean into the whole the white savior. Like, you know how the white savior thing is kind of problematic in the Dune book.
Oh, yeah.
They don't shy away from it in ways mm-hmm. that I think are actually pretty good, but it also changes her character a little bit. So she gets a little more to do than I think the Shani character may even get in the book. So I like that part. I thought it was good. I don't want to say too much more about it. Again, this is no spoilers. But yeah, you can look forward to more of her as well as you get a little more Florence Pugh as the Princess Irulan. And I'm just fresh off watching.
I mean, she wasn't in the first one.
She not? I thought she maybe popped up for just a second. Oh, okay. Anyway, you get her.
I certainly don't remember, unless it was the part where I fell asleep. But that was like after they escaped the whole like everyone getting killed thing when I fell asleep.
Yeah. I just watched Oppenheimer the other night, and she was very naked in a lot of Oppenheimer, and so yeah. I'm like, I'm glad they found Florence Pugh some clothes for this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it distracting you from the story in Oppenheimer?
I mean, I just, I think that, like,
was it more maybe sexual content than you thought Oppenheimer required to tell the story?
To be honest with you, I didn't come into Oppenheimer expecting any sexual content. And so all of a sudden it's like, bam, like Florence Hughes, like, here, read some Sanskrit and look at my boobies. I'm like, this is not how I thought science went.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, but I think I would have paid a little more attention in like my physics class if it was like Florence Hugh with a naked topless with a Sanskrit book. We mostly watched old episodes of Sherlock Holmes when my teacher didn't want to teach because he was hungover.
For physics?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe physics comes up in Sherlock Holmes sometimes. Just doesn't seem like it's entirely related.
That's kind of a reach. I think he just likes Sherlock Holmes and he didn't
like
teaching.
Yeah, he just figured like, was the school get mad I showed him Sherlock Holmes? No,
Safe territory. If the kids today get to watch Oppenheimer, I'm like, Hide Your Kids. No one needs to see that.
Yeah. I still haven't seen it. I've started to hear more mixed reviews about it as time has gone on and more people have watched it, I feel like.
I think there's a real quintessential mistake of trying to make science sexy and dangerous. And mm-hmm. I think because it's not, it's tedious by its nature. Yeah. And
I mean, so the early nuclear science was somewhat dangerous considering they didn't know if they were going to destroy the whole world accidentally.
Yeah, but not in a sexy way. Like they weren't still and unsexy. Talking about it. Yeah. I mean, I thought Oppenheimer was practically softcore porn. I thought it was like Red Shoe Diaries Oppenheimer edition.
Yeah. Does David Duchovny like show up on a beach with a dog?
Late night Skinamax with like, you know, I'm an amateur biologist, or maybe should I say a sexologist? Like, and that part would be in like sepia because you'd have to separate it from the black and white that is the historical fact and the color that is Oppenheimer's perspective. And then the sepia is just dead, is Red Shoe Diaries. Fucking maybe you do that sepia with a little bit of Schindler's List red pops. Anyway, that's my idea for how to fix Oppenheimer. What do you think? Hashtag double deuce fix my Oppenheimer.
Here's my question. Bigger symbol of fertility, pugs or Oppenheimer?
You know, that's really tough. What I would do is I would put Oppenheimer on in the background, and then I would sort of let the pug in after pouring some wine, and then you just got, it's just all action from there on out.
So they probably they could have used a pug in Oppenheimer and in Doom 2.
Yeah, well, they could have used the yes, because they had Florence Pugh in Doom 2, but she didn't have a pug, and she wasn't nearly as naked.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like I understand these movies now.
Yeah, which is good, because we're out of time.
Oh, yeah, we are, aren't we?
Yep.
Well, double deuce and double deuce.
Montage.
We never do montages here.
No, we really don't.
They are a visual medium. That's probably why we haven't been able to pull one off. Not for lack of trying.
Amen. Come to the live show. Maybe we'll montage a little bit there.
Yeah. Details to come. But drink some Magic Mind, and then you'll really get everything we're saying.
My dog is pounding at the door, and it makes me wonder an age-old question. Everybody asks who let the dogs out, but no one asks who let the dogs in.
Double deuce.
This has been Double Deuce Podcast. If you thought the intro sounded bad, this outro sounds even worse.
Thanks for listening. I don't know how you did, but if you're trying to listen to more, we're everywhere. Libsyn, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, fucking everywhere.
That's right. Wherever fine podcasts are made, we'll be there. Also, you can reach out to us on social medias. We're at Double Deuce Pod on Twitter. We're at Double Deuce Podcast on Facebook. And our email is doubledeucepod@gmail.com. Finally, if you want to support us, get our Patreon on. Patreon.com/DoubleDeucePod.
Yeah, we got all kinds of stuff on there. We got me talking about things I'm seeing. We got extra minis, like the minis you find in the Deck of Deuces. We got Will singing. Or if you want to pay for him not to sing, there is a way to pay for no singing. The world's your oyster. All kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
So much stuff.
That's Patreon.com/DoubleDeucePod. Yeah!
Yeah! Sorry, when you're like, wherever fine podcasts are found, I just kept thinking about that Tom Jones speech at the end of Grapes of Wrath. It's like, whenever there's a cop beating on a fine podcast, we'll be there. Double deuce.
Good episode.